I personally donated a Honda Civic to public radio, and it felt great. It was actually really awesome. I'm Suzanne Bona. These vehicle donations, that adds up to about a week's pledge drive of fundraising. It couldn't have been easier. Literally, we got the phone call. They said, leave the keys in the car. And I came home from the radio station that day, and the car was gone. It was awesome. To donate your car, just go to WSHU.org.
The town of Oyster Bay needs volunteers to sort through shells of oysters and clams consumed at the upcoming Oyster Fest. The goal is to support habitat restoration and growing new shellfish. Joe Saladino is Oyster Bay town supervisor. He says the shells are left outside to kill any disease, a process called curing, and then they're returned to the bottom of the harbor.
What it really does is provide structure for the young oysters to attach themselves to. There's lots and lots of calcium in these shells, and that calcium disintegrates and provides more calcium for the new oysters growing.
A dozen Long Island oyster farmers will participate in this year's Oyster Fest, running October 19th and 20th. You can sign up to help with the shell collection by contacting the town's Department of Environmental Resources. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Connecticut officials want towns to ramp up plans for resiliency projects. The MTA announces a $68 billion five-year improvement plan. Nearly 60 new laws will take effect in Connecticut next week. Plus, new information is released on the fatal bus crash involving Farmingdale High School students. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut has just launched the second round of an initiative to help communities get federal assistance for climate resiliency projects. It comes in the wake of last month's devastating flash floods in southwestern Connecticut. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
State officials want towns and cities to ramp up plans for resiliency projects because Congress and the Biden administration have increased federal matching funds from $25 million to more than $1 billion a year. Katie Dykes is the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection Commissioner. She says the state initiative helps communities come up with the 25% needed to qualify for federal matching funds.
Let's try to not have that be the issue, because we want to bring those, 75% of the costs covered by the feds. We want to bring that money into the state.
DEEP awarded its first round of climate resiliency funds last year, providing more than $8 million to help launch climate resilience projects in 17 communities across the state. Prior to that, the state had helped fund the construction of 10 microgrids to provide backup power for critical facilities. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
The Metropolitan Transportation Authority has approved a $68 billion five-year improvement plan. But funding for the ambitious plan, which includes major upgrades for the LIRR, is still up in the air, WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
It's not yet clear how the MTA will come up with about $33 billion it needs to fully implement the plan. A big chunk was supposed to come from the congestion pricing toll on drivers entering Manhattan, but Governor Kathy Hochul indefinitely paused the controversial measure this summer. The MTA plan largely focuses on maintaining the current system and expansions, like electrifying tracks and making stations accessible to disabled riders. Those expansion projects could end up on the chopping block without the necessary funds. The plan now goes to the state legislature for approval. They're also responsible for figuring out how to pay for it. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Nearly 60 Connecticut laws will take effect on October 1st. Michaela Savitt has more on two of them.
Under a new law, requirements to improve on-the-job safety for Connecticut home health care workers take effect on October 1st. This comes after visiting nurse Joyce Grayson was killed last year at a halfway house in Willimantic. Connecticut home health aid agencies are required to inform workers about a client's history, from diagnoses to instances of violence or abuse. Disclosing hazardous materials at job sites is also required of agencies, along with creating health and safety training curriculum for aides. And part of a 2023 Connecticut law concerning privacy protections for minors also takes effect in October. Online services will need parental or guardian consent to collect information on children under 13 years old. Minors above that age will have to personally sign off on their data being collected. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Michaela Savitt.
Three Connecticut prisons now have libraries, thanks to the nonprofit Freedom Reads. That story and more are coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
The National Transportation Safety Board has released new information on a fatal bus crash involving Farmingdale High School marching band students and chaperones last year. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
The NTSB released a transcript of an interview with the bus driver. Lisa Schaefer told investigators she heard a boom, felt the steering wheel pull out of her hands, and said she knew right away the front tire had blown out. The documents describe the bus tire's failure and note the majority of students were not wearing seatbelts. The fatal accident occurred in September of 2023 in upstate New York during a trip to Pennsylvania. Two educators were killed and some students were injured. Investigators have not released their final report. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Connecticut transportation officials have cleared homeless encampments under the Gold Star Memorial Bridge in New London. The unhoused people say the state gave them a 72-hour notice to leave the area. The mayor says the city is working with social workers to find permanent housing for those displaced. A federal judge has dismissed a challenge to Nassau County's ban on wearing face masks in public spaces. The judge ruled the ban doesn't violate the rights of those with disabilities. Medical masks are still allowed. Those who violate the ban could face up to a $1,000 fine or a year in jail. Around 45,000 lower-income Connecticut families could be missing out on COVID relief money. That's according to the United Way of Connecticut, who have launched a statewide outreach campaign called Get Your Refund CT. Patrick Gentile is founding director of Simplify CT, a free tax preparation organization and campaign partner.
There's about $120 million available in federal earned income tax credits and child tax credits for the 2021 tax year for these 45,000 households who have failed to file their returns for a whole bunch of different reasons. So we have a call to action to help us find these 45,000 households and to get the money in their hands as quickly as possible before the statute of limitation expires.
Gentile says many first-time filers are concerned that filing for these COVID funds may affect their other government benefits, but that is not the case. The enhanced benefits must be claimed before April 15th of 2025. Details about the campaign can be found at ctunitedway.org/getyourrefund. A seafood processing plant in Fall River, Massachusetts, is being sued for allegedly employing migrant teenagers as young as 15 years old. Ben Burke has the story.
Legal aid groups filed the federal lawsuit Tuesday morning. It claims as many as 10 underage migrants worked at Ross Seafoods in 2022, some of them feeding fish through dangerous machinery.
These kids were getting 2 to 4 hours of sleep a night and were unable to focus in school.
Jordan Cosby is a Yale law student working with the Worker and Immigrants Rights Advocacy Clinic, which represents three unnamed migrant teenagers.
One describes in the complaint having freezer burns from working really rapidly on these fish sorting machines and that the next day his hands would be shaking so much that he couldn't hold a pencil in class.
A spokesman for Ross Seafoods says the company recently fired a group of underage workers who used false documents to lie about their ages. He says the company doesn't have enough information to take further action. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Ben Burke.
New libraries will open in three Connecticut prisons this month, courtesy of the nonprofit Freedom Reads. WSHU's Sarah Anastasi reports.
The organization is providing handcrafted bookcases to create what they call freedom libraries in cell blocks. Reginald Dwayne Betts is a poet and the founder of Freedom Reads.
Several members of our organization have been incarcerated. They have been incarcerated in Connecticut. And the way that many of them came to the organization was through their friendships.
Betts says that Connecticut's freedom libraries serve as a model for what is possible for the rest of the country. With the recent openings, Freedom Reads will have hundreds of libraries across prisons in 12 different states. Sarah Anastasi, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this one, it's all made possible with support from our listeners. In fact, 60% of WSHU's funding comes from listener donations. If you like what you hear, you've been with us for a while now, please consider giving to WSHU today. You can visit WSHU.org for all the information on how to do that, or you can give us a call if you'd like. The number is 800-777-9748. And if a financial contribution is not possible at this time, the best way you can support this show is by sharing with your family and friends. I'm Sabrina Garone. As always, thank you for listening. I'll speak to you tomorrow.